Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You guys have been trying to run Darius Garland out of town. I've heard you. I've heard a certain reporter from Cleveland.com trying to run Darius Garland out of town. Should I ask Danny if he's number three?
Go ahead.
Danny Cunningham, Locked On Cavs podcast, the inside shot on Substack, Cleveland Magazine, 92.3 The Fan, the Saturday Evening Post. Danny. He's on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Danny.
Good morning.
You trying to run Darius Garland out of town?
No, I think it would be an unwise decision unless that the Cavs are blown away by an offer to trade Darius Garland. I think that he's still growing and getting better as a player. And I think that if you are going to trade Darius Garland, maybe the time to have this conversation is a year from now if the Cavs don't succeed in the postseason next year the way that we anticipate them to or expect them to, I guess would probably be a better way to phrase that. But I think trading Darius Garland just to trading Darius Garland is not the best exercise in team building.
Take that. Take that tone.
I think we're all then agreeing. I mean, none of us want to just dump Darius Garland and we instantly get better. I mean, the goal is to try to make a move that makes you a little more diverse than they are right now, which is crazy, Danny, because in the regular season, I sat there and lauded so much of what they were able to do under Kenny Atkinson, all the different ways that they can play. And then the playoffs, it got right back to the similar formula of the issues they had. And I'm obviously not talking about the Miami series because that wasn't much of a NBA playoff series. But the one that they end up losing, it just seemed to be a very similar formula. And I know Darius was injured, but they just had a lot of the same problems they've had every year. So that's what makes this so tough. I'm trying to figure out a way where they can be better suited to make a deep playoff run.
I think the thing that I keep coming back to as I think about that is a lot of the things that Darius Garland provides is a lot of what the Cavs were missing in that series, right? Because he provides, I think, a really good pressure release outlet. He's somebody that can obviously handle the basketball, I think, better than anybody else on that roster. And the way that the Pacers put the Cavs under pressure for 48 minutes a night and really only having Donovan Mitchell as a guy that you trust to be able to break that down, to be able to bring the ball up so frequently. I mean, we saw early in the series, Ty Jerome having the ball stolen from him before he gets across half court. I believe that was in game one or maybe game two. But there were so many instances like that where it's like, man, a healthy Darius Garland would help out in so many ways. I keep going back to game three, and Darius wasn't very good in that game. He could not move all that well. Mm-hmm. And I believe he dealt with foul trouble too. But that was the game where the Cavs just most looked like the Cavs because they weren't under this immense pressure the entire time because they had somebody else who could help them to break it a little bit. And I just keep coming back to that and saying, man, if Darius Garland were healthy, I wonder what that series would have looked like. Not even saying that the Cavs would have won, but I think that they would have at least as a team looked much different. And that is something that I don't know if it's worth trading him just because he was hurt and it didn't go your way.
Hell yeah, Danny, you're on my side. How's it feel?
Oh, it's the feeling I've been searching for my whole life, Ken.
Feels like another second-round exit. Danny Cunningham joining us right now on the hotline. So, Danny, right now, that was cheap. I'm sorry. Okay, so Desmond Bane gets traded from the Memphis Grizzlies to the Orlando Magic. And obviously, we played the Magic a couple of years ago. That was a rough, rough series. That was a team we handpicked. And we barely got by them despite the fact they had never been in the postseason. Last year, they didn't have Suggs. It was a cavalcade of injuries for them. And they are using injuries as an excuse just like we are. They go get Bane. And I'm hearing a lot of the NBA people fall in love with the trade for them despite having to give up the amount of picks that they gave. What do you think, Danny? Because my takeaway was I still have the Cavs ahead of the Magic in the regular season, but I think a playoff series against them has just gotten exponentially tougher if they're healthy.
So I think that the Magic are better, but I don't think, and this is the thing that I can't wrap my head around because I'm with you. I've seen a lot of people that just love this trade. To me, the biggest issue for the Orlando Magic is they do not have a point guard that is good enough offensively that can help them to get, because – I think Paolo Banchero is an awesome basketball player. I like Franz Wagner. I don't love Franz Wagner. But they don't have that guy that can get things set up for them offensively. That's why, you know, maybe we heard them as a team that could be interested in Darius Garland because he would be a perfect fit there. He's everything that they need. Desmond Bane makes them better. He makes them more talented. But I keep looking at the situation, and this is even before thinking about what they gave up. I don't know that he solves the issues that they have. Like, he makes them tougher. He makes them better, certainly. And they were already, I think, a tough team that, as you said, dealt with a lot of injuries last year. But they've been a bottom 10 offense in the NBA every year since Dwight Howard left. And I really think they need a star caliber point guard to break that. I think that they are probably still a bottom half of the league offense because they just don't have the playmaking and the ball handling that you need, as we just got done talking about with the Cavs, that they so sorely missed in the postseason. It's hard for me to imagine this Orlando Magic team just having an immense amount of success in the postseason without having a real point guard like that. And the thing about giving up what they gave up, I don't know how they go and get that guy now, because I do not believe they have a tradable first-round pick left with everything they gave up. Do you want to trade Jalen Suggs? Maybe, but even then, his contract is $30 million and goes down. Like, you might have trouble finding the ability to pay a point guard the amount of money that he probably makes. So I have some serious questions about what they're going to look like. They'll be better, certainly, but I still think that they're probably in that second or third tier of teams in the Eastern Conference, depending on how you want to split it up.
Danny Cunningham joining us on the show. Yeah, Danny, like, getting back to the Cavs and a lot of this, like, I think that where they improve is maybe on the margins. I think they were much closer to the whole Dean Wade, or I know that a lot of people would love to ship out Isaac Okoro, but we're closer to the Dean Wade, Isaac Okoro conversation than we are to anything else. Because I don't know, you look at these last champions over these past 7 years. I don't know, man. I don't think anybody lays a blueprint right now. I think that you kind of, maybe it's better to stand pat instead of make these decisions and all of a sudden have a problem where you have to blow it up.
And I think the other aspect of things too is essentially every team that has won a championship in NBA history has gotten a stroke of luck at a certain point, right? Like, go back and think, and it's hard for me to think of teams that don't get lucky, not massively lucky, but lucky at some point. The Cavs got unlucky this year. It happens. It's unfortunate, but I do think that's part of it. I do think that there should be some changes to this roster, but I think doing anything drastic would probably be a little short-sighted. And I also think, too, it's really hard to make a drastic move and get better right now. And I do think that with where the Cavs are at in their timeline, they are who they are to a certain extent. I think their core is those three guys with Donovan, Darius, and obviously Evan. Around that, I think you can make changes, but I think it's easier to make those changes because you're not trying to bring in a core piece coming back. And if you're trying to do that, I think it's just really, really difficult with all of the restrictions that the Cavs have on them being a second apron team.
Danny Cunningham with a
real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
On the hotline, I'm trying to, as best I can, to watch these finals like I do every year and try to, you know, get something out of it in terms of how it can impact maybe the Cavaliers. And one thing I do notice, these teams have some guys who aren't household names, but have, in my estimation, become playoff risers. Guys that in the regular season, you wouldn't really necessarily want all that often, not huge impactful players, but come playoff time can take their game to the next level. I think TJ McConnell has passed that test with flying colors. I think Alex Caruso is another guy. I'm wondering, do the Cavs have those types of players? Because these other teams seem to have multiple. I'd even say Siakam. Siakam's been way better in these series, way tougher to guard than it seems like he is in the regular season. Who are those players for the Cavs?
I mean, it's hard for me to sit here and say Donovan Mitchell, although I believe he is, just because he's a star player.
Yep,
and I don't
agree.
Know if that's exactly
no,
the caliber
him.
Of guy.
I count him, Danny. He takes his game to another level come playoff time.
But when you when you're talking about a star player, like, that's the expectation. You know, I don't know if anybody the TJ McConnell stuff, the Alex Caruso stuff, that's special because you are not necessarily expecting that out of role players. I think it's built into the responsibility of being a superstar the way Donovan is. I think, and it's funny to say this considering the last game he played was so bad, but for most of that Indiana series, I thought Max Strus was that guy. Like, I thought he took his game to a next level in that series, and obviously he had done that before as a member of the Miami Heat, but that is part of the area where the Cavs have come up short because they didn't have enough guys that did do that in terms of role players. I look at Max and then that conversation, I don't know if it stops, but it's not, there's not as much evidence for the other guys that you would hope that there would be after that series against the Indiana Pacers. So that really is the thing. And some of those things can be fickle from year to year. Like, I have no reason to think TJ McConnell wouldn't be able to do this again next year, but I also don't know if he can. I mean, take a look back at, I guess, what Matthew Dellavedova did in the 2015 NBA Finals.
Ooh,
and then
that's a good
year
one.
Later, he was not in the rotation in the postseason. Like, they could not play him against the Warriors.
Mozgov in 2015.
Right. Like, those guys were not in the rotation when the Cavs won the title. And that is just something, I think it's a pretty fickle thing, unfortunately.
Well, I will say this. You're right. Offensively, like, I wouldn't expect McConnell, even though he was excellent at breaking down defenses all year, and I think he should have played more minutes last night, especially Nembhard.
Sure.
Nembhard was disastrous for them, I thought, on both ends in the fourth quarter. But
he has, I think, at times kind of looked a little scared offensively in this series. Nembhard has.
Yeah, and that, we didn't see that guy in our series. That guy was a stone-cold
no.
killer in that series. So I do wonder when I think about, like, McConnell, like, you know they're going to bring the defense. Like, even though they might be limited athletically, they are going to bring defense that I just wonder, some of these Cavs, I just don't think you can set your watch to that in the same way. Like, offense comes and goes. I agree with you. You're going to have good series. You're going to have bad series. Offensively, you're going to have series where you don't shoot the three ball well. But defensively, that's the one thing that you can bring game in and game out.
And I think that's a fair observation. And when you look at the guys that you would count on the Cavs to be, you know, maybe you would have hoped Ty Jerome would have been a playoff riser. And against Miami, it looked like, oh, this guy might be that. And then against Indy, he was awful. But they don't have a lot of those guys coming off the bench that are defense first. I mean, Isaac Okoro is one of them, but he's not been a playoff riser. He's been, I think, the opposite of that, whatever you would want to call that, a playoff deflator in each of the past three postseasons that he's played in. So Dean Wade has not been somebody that I think has been a playoff riser because I think that he has played too tentatively offensively. I don't know that they've had the right combination of having a defense-first guy that can go out and just kind of go supernova offensively for a short period of time and be really impactful in that way. That is an area where I think they're searching, but you also don't know what you have there until you get to the postseason because if I would have thought – everything we know about Ty Jerome, everything we saw with Ty Jerome during the regular season, I would have thought he had a great series against the Pacers, and it turned out it was one of his worst.
In that case, do we run risk of, and this is counter to the argument you and I have made about not trading away Darius Garland and everything, do we overrate our own players here sometimes?
I think every fan base overrates their own players, certainly. But I also think that when you're talking about a 25-year-old two-time All-Star and somebody that I think is still getting better, you should never be rushing to give those guys away, especially when they play a premium position in the NBA. Sure, we probably think of Darius Garland a little bit higher than other teams or other fan bases, certainly, but we also watched him for 82 games in the regular season and then the series against the first two games against Miami Heat where he was really good too. So I think that there is a little bit of that, but I also think that you need to look at who this guy's been as a player and say, if I were building a team, I would want that on my team.
All right, I have said, Danny, there is also a risk in not making moves. I know people think that it's wide open in the East, so if you just run it back, you should be fine. Well, already we've had one big change, and the Orlando Magic are the first. Are you expecting craziness right now the way that some are around the league?
Yeah, I think that there will be other teams in the East that try and get better, that see an opportunity. And part of the reason why teams see an opportunity is because the Cavs didn't get it done in the postseason, obviously. The Boston Celtics are not going to be the same caliber of team next year. The Milwaukee Bucks, I do not think, are going to be a very good team at all next year. And it's wide open. I also think that there are going to be teams that look at Indiana. I'm not saying I agree with this. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. But I think some teams are going to look at what the Pacers have done and say, that's a little fluky. We don't expect that again next year. We think that this Eastern Conference is wide open. I would think Detroit is going to try and be a team that makes a big move and tries to really build themselves up after what they had was an incredibly successful season by their standards this past year. But I also look at the rest of the East and, okay, there may be three or four teams that can do this and really give themselves a chance. Other than that, some of these teams are so bad that it's not even worth it just because they're so far away, like the Charlottes of the world. Obviously, Washington's not in that place. Maybe Toronto goes out and makes a big swing, but even then, I don't know that the Raptors are a team that you would look at and say, yeah, they could be in the conference finals next year. And I know it's really early.
Danny, Detroit is the one I'm looking at. Like have the assets, ammo, and they were pretty damn tough last year.
I think that they absolutely should try and make a move to get a stretch five. And it sounds like that's exactly what they want to do. And if they do that, I think they're a much better team. Now, we still need to see them go through a postseason and win series, multiple ones, before I think you really have, you know, a lot of respect for what they can do. And I certainly think that J.B. Bickerstaff's a good coach, but he is a coach that has certainly had a lot of issues in the postseason that we have seen firsthand, too, that I think still exist. Like, that just hasn't gone away. But I think the Pistons are a team that should believe that they can go for it now.
Danny, thank you for the time. All the best.
Anytime, guys.
Danny Cunningham, Locked On Cavs podcast, The Inside Shot on Substack, Cleveland Magazine, 92.3 The Fan. He's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.